broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders, our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget those folks. Our heritage is absolutely important. We reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt Crosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, so Kurt, I want your take on this Black Panther movie. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, Sam, and I've been hesitant. You know, the whole Black Panther thing for a lot of years was kind of what I'd not call a positive kind
of
thing.
We'll talk about that. The good sheriff with us is with us as well, Sheriff Richard Mack. Hello, sir. Have you seen the Black Panther movie?
I actually have.
It's one of the top 10 highest grossing movies of all time, with a worldwide box office tally of more than $1.279 billion, and it's not over yet.
Well, I didn't think it was that good, but, you know, my wife and I enjoyed it. It was a good, you know, Marvel comic book movie. We enjoyed it. I wouldn't put it in the top 10 movies in the world, but, you know, it's kind of like all the others, and we kind of like those kind of action movies and, you know, little nostalgia with the Marvel comic books and all that. So, you know, it was a good movie. Would I place it up there? No.
Really?
Yeah, but it was a good movie. I mean, I think you would like it.
I doubt it. I don't like a lot of these movies that are out. I believe most of them promote propaganda is my first problem.
Oh, well, that's probably true. But I'm also amazed at how much has been exposed in movies, including one that we saw last night, and that was Chappaquiddick. And so, yeah, it was a well done movie. It wasn't nasty. There wasn't any vulgarities or anything. I think there was one F-bomb, but there was no nudity. There was no sex. There was nothing like
that. Yeah, well, Sheriff Mack, the only thing about Chappaquiddick, though, it has historical smoking. And so I think you'd
probably
want to avoid
Chappaquiddick,
that,
we're talking about Black Panther, Kurt.
He brought up Chappaquiddick. He went to Chappaquiddick last night. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I can't keep track of the movies. Let's stick with Black Panthers for a second.
Okay,
because the Superman movies are like a secret hero. But what about a whole country in disguise? Isn't it like that? Wakanda? Isn't that what it's called, Sheriff?
Don't recall. I really don't.
It's a third world nation, right?
I wasn't impressed by any of that. I just go to movies to escape and be entertained. That's basically it. If I see something while I'm there and that it's trying to propagandize me, you know, I'll tell my wife, oh, brother, you know, but I will tell you that I have been amazed, and I mentioned it on here, American Made, I believe, was the CIA being exposed as being a big international drug dealer. I thought that movie was amazing as to the truth and even using the names of people in the real situation. So, I don't know. I've been...
That was the Barry Seal one, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
That was the MENA, Arkansas whole deal and all that stuff.
Yeah, that sucker's so old, people forgot about that, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but, you know, they bring it up because it's a heck of a story. It sure is. Wouldn't it be nice if they got the Clintons on that, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Well, did you see If I Can Only Imagine?
I did, and I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, see, I like that movie. I'm a little less on Black Panther and a whole lot more on If I Can Only Imagine, personally.
I will tell you that the better movie of the two was I Can Only Imagine.
However, it got plenty of good money compared to how much it cost to create, but it got pittance in comparison as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a shame, in my opinion.
Well, I don't think it got the promotion, the promotional money, or even just, you know, a real solid promotion. Seeing it on, like, Black Panther was all over the news, all over the internet, all over the TV, and I can only imagine really wasn't at all. I had to kind of seek it out.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's the key thing. It's like what we talk about when you get, say, a Mitt Romney running for president and the Deseret News puts him on the front page because they call it a news article. And then if Ron Paul is running at the same time, they, you know, I mean, he'd have to buy any coverage that he got, you know, and that's the same way with the Black Panther thing. Everybody was talking about it, and hardly anybody brings up the whole I can only imagine thing because it's about God and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
Sam,
yeah, it's,
you know,
too religious. I mean, yeah, it's pretty religious.
You know.
Now, here's my big problem with the Black Panther movie, though. It's something that's supposedly good. People see it, people love it, people spend a ton of money on it. But what have you known about the word Black Panther until this movie came out, Sheriff?
Oh, well, of course. Eldridge Cleaver and the Black Panther movement in America. I, when I see Black Panther, though, I always think of Eldridge Cleaver, who is a converted Black Panther. I mean, he left it and spoke at the Freedom Festival in Provo in 1980.
Yeah, kind of like that whacked out guy that's a communist that, what is his name, Van Jones or something like that, the communist thug that ends up on, you know, Fox all the time and such.
Sure.
Kind of like that guy, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think.
Kind of like Donald's a recovering abortionist and Ronald Reagan's a recovering Democrat and all this kind of stuff, right?
Well, right. Van Jones is not on Fox. He's on CNN.
Oh, all right. I don't know the difference between the two anymore. Do you?
Oh, yeah,
because half the guys that worked at Fox went to CNN, and half the guys at CNN went to Fox before they all got either fired or whatever, right?
And
caught in a porn cast.
Went to NBC, and she's doing bad on the radio.
Failing at that, yeah. See, they all just, you know, and if they don't, you know, revolve around the networks, they go into government for a while, then only to come out and get hired again. And, you know, hey, the revolving door just continues on. But all I'm telling you is this movie by the name of Black Panther, I get it. It's got a black cast, primarily a black superhero and all this kind of stuff. The problem that I have with it, though, is it changes this very sinister idea. It'd kind of be like if I created a movie called The White Supremacist, and then the movie was incredible, and everybody's like, man, I love that white supremacist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it akin to that kind of, are we changing the lexicon in America? This modern generation who might not have the historical reality that you have on this and can separate the two, might not even realize when they hear Black Panthers, they're like, oh, those guys are the good guys, right?
Yeah. You know, we'd have to do some time checking to see which came out first, the Black Panther movement in America or the Marvel comic book about Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And,
but the two are certainly at odds, that's for sure.
Well, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know if I would compare it to white supremacist other than I would maybe...
Is a Black Panther a black supremacist?
I'm not sure.
Or what are they? Are they like setting aside race and working together as Americans for the greater good?
I don't know if they're just called the Black Panthers because they're against white, or they're against white suppression, or they're against the Vietnam War having blacks put up at the front, or I'm not sure. I haven't studied the Black Panther movement very much. All I know is that they've got away with a lot of things, especially under...
I know they don't believe in the rule of law, and they're pretty violent.
Oh, yeah, they've committed back to violence. There's no question about that. No question.
Yeah.
You know, with your comparison and metaphor, I would probably do something more like white honky instead of, you know...
Yeah, you can't be saying that kind of stuff on the radio. Hey, now.
But when I first saw Black Panther come out, I'm sorry, but the first thing I think of is Eldridge Cleaver. Yeah.
But do you think of that? Do you think of that now that you've seen the movie?
Oh, no, not at all. No.
Yeah, see, they're going to replace that bad memory you had, buddy, with a violent extremist. Where does it all end up when it comes into the arms of Louis Farrakhan and eventually the Muslim Brotherhood and Barack Hussein Obama, and where does that go with Antifa, and where does that all work out with Black Panthers, and then Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, and then the Muslim Brotherhood, and Barack Obama, and then community organizing, and then that backs into, what's that other organization, their fundraising group thing that Barack was in, what's that thing?
It's not Acorn.
Yeah, Acorn. Yep. Acorn. Oh, okay. Good work, Kurt. So, Acorn, where does all that, where does one stop and the other begin? And aren't they all just a bunch of big old terrorist organizations? I mean, Louis Farrakhan's hanging out with congressmen and senators. And, buddy, you can't meet with your congressman or senator if you tried, hardly.
And presidents, by the way. Good point. He was hanging out with Obama.
Yeah, good point. So, see, where does all this stop and end? And to me, it's just this violent agenda. And then it's literally eclipsed by, hey, white supremacists are the bad guys. And everybody else, including Black Panthers, they're the good guys.
Right.
In fact, you saw the movie, didn't you? Great movie, huh? And that's where we're headed.
Well, but I'm not sure I agree with you. Because this is a Marvel comic book, and I don't believe the Marvel comic book, Black Panther. And I think I'm right. I think it is. I think it was a Marvel comic book. I don't believe that original comic book, if I'm right that it was, because it came from Marvel, and that's what Marvel did. But I don't believe it was trying to promote any subversive thing, except it was just trying to engage everybody. It's the same reason.
Well, I agree, but let me give you this comparison. The Nazi symbol, I don't know if you know, but it was around before the Nazis had it, and it was actually a pretty good thing.
Well, it came from the cross, didn't it, originally?
A lot of it, and it also came from views of nations that it didn't have the connotation it has now. So I'm not debating that the connotation or the agenda might not have been perverted in the first place. I'll agree with you there. But what's happened since, and are we trying to whitewash it? It'd be like taking the Nazi symbol and reincarnating it to be something good, huh?
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The Black Panther Party from 1966 to 1982 literally promoted black power. Literally promoted, they say, anti-racism. I don't get it, but nevertheless, very violent. Very liberal. Far left. Marxism, Leninism, anti-imperialism, anti-fascism, black nationalism. All right? This is what goes on. Well, the comic book and the Black Panther Party literally came out the same year, Sheriff. You kind of wonder if that was a mistake or if that was by design by who.
Another one of those coincidences.
And now, coincidentally, what? It dies in the 80s or whatever you want to say, so it's been, what, 30 years since then. And now, instantly, right when Barack Hussein is president, tied with the Muslim Brotherhood, then the white nationalist Donald Trump gets in office. That's what they're claiming now. And now you have the resurgence of the Panther movie. But don't worry, the Black Panthers are gone. They ended in 1982. We just have Black Lives Matter and Antifa and Acorn and all these other replacement organizations, some softer, some positioned differently, but tied to the same ideology and the same people that hate freedom, sir.
Yeah.
Am I clueless? Am I crazy?
No. But, you know, there are fads and there are trends, and they go cyclical. I will tell you, Elvis Presley was accused of being a Negro performer and Negro music. And that was, you know, he was rejected and people, you know, a lot of churches said he was evil, don't do it. And then he died out for about, 10, 15 years. And when he came back, I was all over his music. I mean, I absolutely loved his music and still do.
So, I'm just bringing up the interesting parallel cycles of these two reality movements. One good, the good guys, and the other the bad guys, and it all tied to this racism divide thing. It's very strange all at once. The cycles are in tandem, strangely or coincidentally, right?
Yeah, and I'm still amazed at how much Hollywood has pointed out as far as government corruption and CIA drug dealing. And, you know, I thought that was just, you know, who used to say that all the time? In fact, all three of us know him very well, Colonel Bull Gright. He used to make all sorts of accusations about those, and I would just run away from him when he did. And now we find out that most of what he was saying was true. And so at least Hollywood is saying that it is. And Maxine Waters accused the CIA of drug dealing in the ghettos of Los Angeles and others. And, you know, of course, she wasn't called a right-wing extremist conspiracy nut. In fact, she hardly got any traction with that at all. And, of course, the Martin Luther King family has said that J. Edgar Hoover and the government killed their father, and it wasn't James Earl Ray. And they actually had a meeting with James Earl Ray about it, and it's on video, where they asked him, and in fact, Martin Luther King's son said he believed James Earl Ray did not do it, and that he believed him with his deathbed, come unto Jesus meeting.
Well, how do we promote Martin Luther King, for example? He's basically a saint, even though the reality is he was a pervert adulteress. How do we dovetail that with the Me Too movement's going to protect Martin Luther King and Bill Clinton and then attack Donald?
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of looks like Donald has his own share of sexual escapades.
Of course he does, and we shouldn't dismiss those either, sir.
No, Donald came from a different, culture than you and I did, and he's had all the money in the world, and he's been taught that he can do whatever he wants. And similarly to Clinton, he was taught that he can do whatever he wants. And I do believe, though, that Donald has a little bit higher morals than Clinton. I certainly trust him more. The one thing that comes up almost weekly that I respond to is, has Donald Trump kept his word to drain the swamp? I mean, here they are with another scandal, with another department head or another cabinet head, and this time it's the EPA, and I'm sitting there going, why is he even messing with the EPA instead of abolishing them? And I really want to play the part where he was interviewed, and I think it was on Fox, and I think it was Sean Hannity, maybe not Hannity, but he was talking to somebody about how he was going to make these agencies, especially the Department of Education, skeletal. He wasn't going to get rid of them entirely, but he was going to make them skeletal. And he hasn't done that. He's made some cuts here and there, and there's been a few attritions here and there. But
we commend the good that's been done, by the way.
Of course, yes, of course. But he has not drained the swamp, and it's still big, and we're still funding it. And I really hesitate to give kudos to somebody who signs a bill who he said, and then right after says he shouldn't have signed it, and he'll never sign it again. Okay, don't bring me stuff like that to sign again. Well, if they bring you something you shouldn't sign, go sign the damn thing.
And if you do sign it, you're only encouraging them to send you more, sir.
Of course. Yeah, that's like just telling a kid, now I really mean it this time. You can't go steal candy bars anymore.
Don't worry about all the porn, though, and don't worry about protecting Martin Luther King Jr. and treating him as a saint while you promote the Black Panthers under this duopoly of good and bad and confusing as you attack white supremacists all over the nation, whether they really are or not. Because Utah is in the news. This happened a couple of months ago, but I saved the article for this. I look for your articles, and they're timely in their delivery. But this one says, don't worry, Utah accidentally sends picture of topless woman to every lawyer in the state, writes Chris Morris. What do you think of that? How is Utah sending topless women photos to lawyers? All the lawyers in the state on a list. How does that kind of stuff happen?
You got to wonder. You really got to wonder on that.
But I want to know who got arrested for this, Kurt. Anybody get arrested for this?
I doubt it.
And how was this accidental?
Well, it's a great question, Sam. And, it's probably part of that whole hacking thing, don't you think?
What hacking thing?
Well, this guy could have said, look, I was hacked. It wasn't really my fault, right? That's the new way of saying it wasn't your fault, right?
Yeah. All the lawyers, though, that got it are like, me too. See, I just say that it's just weird stuff in our society, but I don't see a sea change at all in the accountability. You know what? Hillary Clinton is still running around. Donald's still running around. All these people still running around doing all the same stuff. Do you see any degree of real accountability, Sheriff?
No, and I'll tell you what, the things that scare me the most, and I actually worried about this on my campaign because I really thought if I go up in the polls, then they're going to do to me what they did to Judge Roy Moore, or worse. And so, these people in the top parts of the Republican Party, they're ruthless, man. I mean, they're just as bad as the Democrats. They are ruthless. They are cruel. They are anything and everything about winning. They don't care who they have to trample upon or kill. They're not above any of that. And it just amazes me that what they did to Judge Moore. And it's all over the place. And the most they had on him that they could ever even come up with, which were hearsay mostly, that he did something wrong with a girl that was consensual, by the way, 35, 38, 40 years ago. You tell me something about that on anybody. I don't care who it is. I'm not going for it. That's way too long ago. If this guy made a mistake, and again, it didn't appear that there was any consummation of the relationship.
There was plenty of contradictions in the story and questionable witnesses.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Questionable individuals involved from the get-go, so there you go.
But still cost this man his career, his reputation, and his future.
All right. Brian, our listener, emails in and says, hey, just so you guys know, both of them, Black Panthers, were created in 1966. The comic book came out in July, and then the Black Panthers took the name and created the party in October. So I get it, but it's kind of like the swastika. Didn't have the bad connotations before the Nazis took it over or whatever else. But I don't know why you would, if you're the comic book folks, why you would return to it after all the violence associated with it. And then promoted again as the continual good guys. There's more here than meets the eye. Thanks, Brian, for that update. See, our listeners are some of the smartest in the business, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Curtin, the good sheriff, back in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Yeah.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we're having a lot of fun hopping from topic to topic on your radio. I guess there's a Texas border sheriff. The guy's name is Tom Schmerber, Kurt.
That's right, Sam. And, you know, he's saying he didn't really want the National Guard down on the border. And I thought it was interesting. It's a Breitbart piece, but... you know, kind of wonder why the CNN boys decided to interview him. Not because, of course, he's going against the president. I mean, that wouldn't be part of it. But, yeah, he's down there in what's called Maverick County. I don't know if he's much of a maverick. But he stated he doesn't think the military is needed on the border. He says, they ask him, do you want to see the U.S. military come to your county to help control the border? He said, no, I don't think. I think the Border Patrol is well-trained, well-equipped. I don't think we need the military here on the border. Didn't say anything about the rubber bullets, you know, but anyway.
Didn't say anything about Operation Fast and Furious either, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he added that previous deployments of the National Guard to the border were back when conditions were different. Yeah. So when the White House says this is a crisis and that things are getting worse, your feeling is, he says, not here, not in this county. So anyway, everything's okay on the border.
And then
Sam,
he finished by saying that the Donald Trump administration has not reached out to the good sheriff. And what do you say about that, Sheriff?
Well, I had never heard of that name, even though it's quite a unique last name that you said. I've never heard of him. I'm not aware of him. I am aware of 15 county sheriffs along the Texas border who have been screaming bloody murder about the problems they've been having at the border. For this guy to have the only one that doesn't have a problem, I find a little bit alarming.
I think we ought to put him on the national stage and find out what he's doing right, what he's doing wrong, and make sure Operation Fast and Furious didn't happen in his jurisdiction, sir.
Yeah, whatever he's doing, I want to copy it, because even when I was sheriff, we had situations where it just was uncontrollable at times. Load vehicles going through our county, and we're trying to help people who may have been forced into these vans and are literally part of human trafficking, or were they the ones that paid the $3,000 by these coyotes who are exploiting them, and the cartels and others who make millions every year by exploiting poor people, promising them land of gold and milk and honey here in the United States. And of course, sometimes the United States plays right along with that, in that they do offer people so many freebies if they come here. So, man, yeah, for him not to experience any of those problems, if he hasn't seen the violence that has occurred in the northern towns of Mexico, you know, Juarez and others that are right there along the border, and if he hasn't seen the cartels along the Rio Grande near McAllen, Texas, then further west of McAllen, I don't know if he has his head buried in the sand or if he's just a brainwashed liberal.
Maybe he has all the answers.
Man, I tell you, I want to know what they are.
Wow. Anyway, we thought we'd put that guy on your radar, though. The guy's name is Tom Schmerber. I think I'm saying that name right. It's S-C-H-M-E-R-B-E-R. Schmerber? Is that why you do it, Kurt?
Yeah, and, you know, Schmerber. As far as I can tell, you know, his family is part of the Gerber family and also the
what?
Schmerbs, you know. So.
All right, I was thinking more like the Smurfs, but that's me. All right.
Just kidding.
I wonder if he's got an investment in Uber, speaking of Schmerber and Gerber and all these kind of things. Nevertheless, the good sheriff, though, I'd like to see if we couldn't get a town hall together where we could have a YouTube broadcast live and see if we couldn't, you know, debate the sheriff on this and discuss it and see if we can get Donald involved and maybe Donald Trump Jr. involved. And we could have a real open, honest discussion that the mainstream press won't let us have, Sheriff.
Well, they start talking about that, and I get them first thing out of my mouth. I say, I thought we were draining the swamp and we're going to get rid of political prisoners in North Korea and other places in Europe.
Oh, no, we're about to put Schmerger in power. Schmergberger in power.
But we won't do it here in the United States, and we won't do anything about that. So now I guess one of those solutions is that we support Ryan Bundy for governor.
He's running in Nevada, isn't he?
Yeah, and his campaign manager called last night. My wife picked the call. I wasn't here. And he said that he wants our endorsement and all this stuff and help. And but man, I'll be all over that.
You're going to be in? You're going to do it?
Oh, yeah, aren't you?
Absolutely. Have him call me. I'll put him on the radio. Send me his phone number. I'll call up the campaign manager and book a time and put Ryan on. We'll talk about it.
All right.
He's got critical land issues to discuss, ladies and gentlemen, and government corruption and abuse issues to discuss. No matter what, he deserves to talk all election season long, whether he wins or loses. But I would do everything within my power to help him win on top of all that. That's my endorsement.
I think he has a real chance just because of the nature of his campaign, that it was sparked by him being a victim. People like to support victims. People like the underdogs. People like to help people who have been abused. And I think that might just make for a groundswell of support.
Well, our prayers are that you're right. My suspicions say the deep state and the mafia state won't let that happen, but I get your point.
Will his impediment help him or hurt him?
It'll help him.
His speech impediment?
No, it'll help him.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll tell you why. Normally it wouldn't help because you got to be the suave, debonair politician. But in this case, when he's abused by the government and he's got a speech impediment, the two together are only going to help him. The problem is when you got a mafia state ran by the gambling cartels where they covered up this mass shooting already. We haven't gotten to the bottom of that thing, but we know it's strange as all get out. And where they abused the Bundys more so than any other state, at some point you got to look back on that and say, hey, wait a minute. They've shut down all the ranchers in that state. Even when a rancher wins and the judge says, hey, bring your pocketbook, government, because you've crossed the line and you've literally committed perjury and you've literally created racketeering and all this stuff, and it still doesn't matter.
No.
Hey, we're up against a system, folks, that people cannot underestimate. It's what I'm pointing out.
Yeah.
So I pray for him, and I think his speech impediment and I think the abuse that he's taken will help him. I really do.
Well, I hope so, because I'm really going to help him.
Amen. Anyway, send me the phone number. I'll call the campaign manager and put Ryan on the radio. We'll do everything we can to help. I think he's right on the issues. I think he was wrongfully abused. No doubt about it. All right, what's next, Kurt?
You know, speaking of the Bundys, I was looking, trying to get some updates on that. But, you know, the standard media doesn't have too much to cover there. They don't want to really cover those issues. But, you know, I'm all in on the Ryan Bundy thing as well. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I'm seeing right now is our buddies there at Breitbart doing their Masters of the Universe deal where they put everybody together, and they're talking about the whole Google, etc., power that they've got. And, you know, Sam, it just highlights once again the facts that you always taught us. He who owns the media makes the rules.
How much does it cost to be a governor? I know it takes about $5 million on the average to be a congressman and about $10 million on the average to be a senator. How much to be a governor? Any idea, Kurt?
Maybe $15 million. I don't know.
You got to research like that bad boy. How much do you think it'll take, and how much do you think Ryan can raise, Sheriff?
Well, I'm going to donate, but I don't think it's that high. I think they just announced that the lady who won the race in my race here, that the Republicans were putting in $500,000 to her campaign because they were really concerned that this Democrat, who's a very formidable candidate, could be close to winning in a district that is hugely Republican. And, of course, Debbie Lesko, the winner, has some huge baggage because during the primary she committed some financial crimes, which is easy to do. I'll be the first one to admit it's easy to break some of those FEC rules. But she's they're already running television ads, the Democrats are, about Debbie Lesko's financial problems during the primary. So that's why I had asked her to resign. But so now the Republicans are all concerned. So they said $500,000. So I really think just $1.5-2 million will run win that race. And I think that's as far as it'll go on that one.
What do you think, Kurt? Do you think he's right, or do you think it's much more than that?
Well, it depends. If they get all the ranchers or former ranchers, all the good folks in Nevada and everybody else across the country helping on that deal, you know, then you could probably add it up and it'd be worth millions. But, you know, who knows for sure? I just don't see much coverage of it. And it's got to be the, you know, the media giving him some cover. And I don't know that they're going to want to do that because the insider boys won't like it.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt, all I know with these PACs, it's hard to even know how much money really went to elections, isn't it? You got bundling and everything else. It's hard to even know what the reality is. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam, Kurt, and the good sheriff. Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org on Liberty Roundtable Live. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, the good sheriff. We're talking about elections, ladies and gentlemen, and it costs millions to get elected to either a House or a Senate on the federal level or a governorship. It's big money. And I don't think we have to have as much money as the other guys, and I don't think we have to have as much, you know, media attention as the other guys, but we've got to have enough foot soldiers, enough money, and enough media attention to make a difference. And if we're severely undercapitalized in those three areas, we will never win. And I'm not saying that you got to have more money than the other guy. I'm not saying you got to have more media coverage than the other guy, because there's a lot of people who create upsets and do win. But it takes a combination of some of that in one of those three categories in some way significant to win, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, I was thinking if sheriffs who we could get to also back Ryan. And, of course, it would really be interesting to see where Sheriff Worley, the sheriff that was in charge of some of their investigation regarding their abuses in prison, and that she did conduct an investigation. Of course, she mostly dealt with Hammond. But I'd like to know how she feels about Ryan and if she would endorse him. Now, she's in the middle of a race herself for re-election.
Yeah, which means she probably won't if she's smart. Not that I wouldn't want to endorse Ryan, but I'm just saying it's not a wise move to endorse people when you're running on your own.
She might be able to after she wins the primary.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Now, there's a big libertarian study that was done, and they say this: if a libertarian candidate could pay half of what a Democrat or a Republican would need to win an election, we see an interesting breakdown of some very affordable elections. In other words, they say the libertarian voter is much more active and it costs less to get those voters. And so if they could spend half, then they say this: we could win in six states for under $1 million per race. We could win six states for under $2 million a race. We could win in nine states for under $3 million. Anyway, it goes on and on and on, and it compares these different election offices. It's kind of interesting. So it's going to be several million dollars that we've got to have. So they cover the costs for a winner for the election and then the runner-up, how much they spent. And anyway, it's millions of dollars nevertheless. And so even if we have a pittance of that kind of money, look, unless Ryan gets well over $500,000 and a bunch of foot soldiers, it's impossible to win. And they've made sure that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to raise some respectable funds. I mean, you know, he's not going to win this with $50,000. You know, that he could win even if he raised $5 million is still debatable, but... still, you have to show some legitimate money and funding. And it takes money to win. And if he's going to really get his message out there, he's going to have to pay for some of that. Should the media be all over him as a candidate? Oh, yeah, just because of where he came from. The Bundy situation in Bunkerville and then being arrested and put in prison in Nye County and then having everything thrown out. That's probably in the neighborhood of gargantuan astronomical story. That's huge. So I don't know. You would think that the press, even national press, would be following this guy around because of what that all that that he's been through and that his family's been through. And that his wife and children are still with him and supporting him and love him. And I mean, it's an amazing story. It's a human interest story. It's a freedom story. It's a government corruption story. But then again, it's also a media corruption story. So maybe they don't want to touch that. But does the media ever really care that they're exposed and that their corruption is exposed?
No, they don't. Why should they?
No. They just go on to something else. I mean, look at Dan Rather. Look at all the horrible things he did and the lies he told. And he came out even admitted that he lied. And then he got fired by CBS. And, of course, he then goes on to big things and, of course, gets a huge retirement and all that. So, I mean, you know, the guy, the media is just something that you have to shrug your shoulders and wonder, why doesn't anything ever happen to them?
Or you have to invest in to make the difference so that we can take the center stage from them and we can do it with pennies on the dollar. I don't think we need as much money as they need, but again, we need active, involved people, just like an election, if we want to take the stage in the media. Masters of the Universe Town Hall, Kurt.
That's right. You've got Breitbart is starting to do these events that we talked about, and so they've got a number of participants, and they're talking about the Masters of the Universe, or in other words, most of us think of some kind of a movie or whatever, but these guys are talking about Google and all their crowd. And Ann Coulter says the internet has been a disaster for the left. I think what she's really saying is there's more access to different types of media for all of us, and so then at least we can participate in part of that. She's also
she points out an opportunity of a lifetime for us. That's where we ought to stand, folks.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
anyway, they got these what are they called, Master of the Universe? That's their kind of series, right, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right. They're all getting together. They got these big events, that we talked about that Breitbart's doing. And this one guy says, you don't know what information you're not getting in the news. And that's really true.
Hey, Sheriff, if you get a hold of Breitbart and see if they'll do a Masters of the Universe on what we can do to have training for sheriffs and border patrols?
Well, I would love to do that.
All you got to do is get a hold of Breitbart and talk to them about Masters of the Universe, sir.
Would that be you, me, and Kurt?
Well, I would propose to get you and Joe Arpaio and probably Brad Rogers and maybe David A. Clark Jr. on there, and then maybe I could moderate for him. You know what I mean?
That sounds fantastic.
We'd go ahead and just break it down. We'd even get this sheriff that thinks there's no border problems on there. Maybe Donald wants to tweet in or two in support, and we can just go ahead and do it and break it down like no other.
Yeah.
I guess you and I might not be Masters of the Universe, though, sir. You know what I mean?
Well, you are to me.
All right. there you go. But think about this, though. Ann Coulter reaching out in the news, and she's being pretty bold. She's basically saying the internet is disaster for the left. And on one hand, I agree with her because it's given us an opportunity. But on the other hand, I say, are you kidding me? They've literally stolen and compromised all our information. Yeah. Every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the left gets to exploit the internet just as much as anybody else does. And how many times have we chased rabbit holes of information put out by the left? I mean, all three of us have. And so, I mean, nah. They use it as much. They exploit it and use it for their benefit just as much as anybody else does.
We are able to make a difference, though, because back before the internet, we could only afford one radio station. in one little small town, I had to sell my house and buy that sucker. And we had an influence of, you know, not a whole lot of area. With the advent of the internet, though, now we speak to the whole world, and there's literally thousands and millions of listeners and involvement, and we get, you know, contacts from all around the world and stuff. So we are making a big difference. Let's not sell ourselves short, but they're exploiting it as much as we are, as the good sheriff wisely points out. Kurt, your thoughts?
Well, you're exactly right, Sam, and, you know, we we join in the guys that say, man, we want patience and we want it now. We want to, fix the world right now. We are grateful for what we do get to participate in.
And we do want to highlight, though, Ann Coulter's point, which is, you know what, the new media has an opportunity to take center stage, and we're doing our very best to, you know what, if we build it, will they come is the question. And I think it's really critical that we do what we're doing. And Ann Coulter's literally doubled down in support of, and some of these town hall meetings, the Master of the Universe town halls, they're saying we've got to build our own institutions if we want to tell our own tale, ladies and gentlemen. And this is just proof that he who owns the media makes the rules. Breitbart gets it. Ann Coulter gets it. We get it. Others get it. We need your financial support in every way possible. But we want to get Ryan Bundy on and let him run for governor, and he'll highlight this point for us, and we'll help him highlight the abuses and the wrongs that he took, and he'll stand up and do what he knows to be right to try to change the game and make a difference. And we all got to work together to get this done, Sheriff.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm helping some sheriff's candidates across the country. One in particular in Otero County, New Mexico. And if he wins, I'm going to be his undersheriff. So, you know, we've got that going.
So do you think Ryan Bundy will promote as part of his campaign the freedomcoalition.com in an effort to free these prisoners? I mean, he was one of them, and now he's out and free. Clive and Bundy hung his hat on, I'm not leaving until we get these guys free. We need to kind of draft them into this campaign and make it grow and put it on the campaign trail, because it's bigger than a campaign, Sheriff.
Well, when I speak to him, when I call his campaign manager, I hope I speak to Ryan. Yeah, that's going to be one of my contingencies for support. And it's easy to forget that, but I'll remind you, and I'm sure he will, because this is what he lived. I mean, he was one of them. So I'm sure that that'll be part of his campaign.
I've dealt with Ammon a little bit more than I have Ryan, but I'm telling you right now, every interaction I've had with Ryan has been positive and good. And as far as I can tell, he's an honest, straight shooter, and we want to do all we can to help that, and maybe we can grow this Freedom Coalition discussion along the way, because I don't want to forget about the prisoners still in prison. We never want to jettison that discussion. We want to always put that center stage, because in my opinion, you and I could be next, Sheriff.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen to anybody, and it already has, and the Republicans continue to ignore this issue. I'm still absolutely amazed that Ron Paul and Rand Paul are not doing anything about it. Just absolutely amazing. I could not be more astonished, surprised, shocked, and disappointed to say that if I had to be. It would be impossible for me to express how disappointed I am in those two.
Yeah, and what Rand would say is, I've written a book about it, I've done the best I can, but at the same time, he doesn't jump on board with folks that are trying to make a difference as well. I don't know if it's too politically toxic, I don't know if it's just a bandwidth discussion, or he's afraid of the issue. Well, don't know, we can't get to him to find out either, right?
How about make a phone call over to the White House?
Hey, Don, this here's Ron. I mean, Rand.
Rand, this is Senator Rand, or this is Rand, or whatever their little pet names are for each other, and he says, you know what? I've got an Amish farmer in prison because the FDA put him in there and some stupid judge gave him 6 years in prison. An Amish farmer's never hurt anybody.
Can you tweet how awful this really is? And can we start a national discussion on this? And can we possibly please put together a presidential commission to resolve this issue? Donald, please, we need this immediately.
And could you consider just signing a pardon just like you did for Joe Arpaio? Just sign one real quick for this guy.
Rand, we hope your friends are listening and you get the word, and we hope you get this done, because that's the next step. We've been stymied at every turn on this, ladies and gentlemen. We have not abandoned the project. We're just stuck. We'll be clearly admitting we're stuck. No one will help us carry this ball. For some reason, when we push it, they go, yeah, 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 yeah. When it comes, push comes to shove, it's nothing but crickets. And I don't know what else to say about it, but we're never giving up. And our next attempt is to work with Ryan Bundy and see if he can't help us with that cause as we help him get elected as next governor of Nevada. Thank you, Sheriff. Travel safe.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. See you soon.
CSPOA.org, jettison the Black Panthers, stand for God, family, and country, stand for the protection of life, liberty, and property, help the new media take center stage. It all starts with your donations to LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We are live on Saturdays nowadays. Folks, don't forget that either. We'll see you tomorrow. God save the Republic of the United States of America.